Darrow, Joe, choir, thank you for bringing some moving warmth on a very cold day. Let me share one of the earliest stories I have about how we make room for one another's spirits to grow here in Unitarian Universalism. One of my Mother Inez's frequent volunteer roles was supporting the food and hospitality ministry throughout the year. She loved to cook, experiment with new recipes, and the satisfaction of keeping a crowd well-fed. She even taught fearless cooking for crowds for our adult programs. She was asked to coordinate Thanksgiving, the UU Service Committee dinners, Passover Seders, and many a meal over the years. One Sunday morning, she invited me to help her out with a lesser-known food ministry role that I had no idea she tended until that day. We went into the minister's study on the second floor, to the place where the communion set was kept, and took out the silver dishes and the cups. And then we went into the small kitchen next door and took out other ingredients, wine, grape juice, and bread. Now, I was frankly surprised that she was preparing communion because I knew this was a service she never attended. My mother came to our faith from Judaism, and she often said about herself, "Unitarian Universalism has allowed me to be the kind of Jewish woman that I am." While she spoke of how meaningful it was to come to know the Unitarian Universalist Jesus, this ritual was not a part of my mother's practice. So I asked her, "Mom, why are you preparing the communion service when you don't go to it?" This was my mother's response: "Allison, that is what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. We prepare the tables for many different spiritual practices in this faith, and we create those spaces for one another, whether or not we choose to sit at that table or participate in that ritual." Then she handed me the little cups and asked me to pour out the wine and juice while she lovingly cut the bread into small squares. We carried the silver plates into the sanctuary and left them on the altar. Then my mother turned to me and said, "Let's go home and have lunch." On our way out, we greeted the ministers and the group of fellow congregants who were just coming in for communion. Unitarian Universalism offers an enriching experience of religious pluralism and spiritual complexity that is hard to find anywhere else in so many communities around the country. The growing number of editions of the Voices in Unitarian Universalism series published by Skinner House is a good example. So far, there is Christian Voices in Unitarian Universalism, Buddhist Voices in Unitarian Universalism, Jewish Voices in Unitarian Universalism, Pagan and Earth-Centered Voices, LGBTQ Voices, and Humanist Voices. Humanist is a word which many of our atheists and agnostics identify with. I hear Muslim Voices in Unitarian Universalism might be in the works, and I imagine this series will continue. Our Director of Lifespan Faith Formation, Leah Ongiri, is actually one of the editors of Jewish Voices, and I wrote one of the chapters for it. You might wonder how we can hold this level of complexity under one denomination, under the roof of one house of worship, and under one mind in one person's life. For many of us here, weave our understandings about God, human nature, morality, and spiritual practices from multiple sources of meaning. One of the essential ingredients required for our faith to take root in a person or in a community is a belief that the revelation is not sealed. This allows for new insights to change our understandings over time. Ours is not a dogmatic tradition where truth is enshrined in history. Ours is a faith of ever-expanding sources of truth. Today, we look to the Bible, to nature, to science, poetry, art, music, human experience, intuition, and the connections and differences among and between the world religions. Our way of doing religion also requires religious freedom within our congregations and the wider denomination, and a healthy respect for the rights of non-Unitarian Universalists to exist and do the same. Wouldn't it be boring if we lived in a world where everyone was Unitarian Universalist? We view our religious lives as being enriched by the presence of other traditions, which we can learn from and be in dialogue with, rather than viewing them as a threat to our existence. That is, as long as they are willing to recognize our right to exist. You may have heard the quip, "We are tolerant for all except for the intolerant." We do not live under one empire with a forced religion. Most of us live in communities where there is an intermingling of wisdom from different religious understandings and practices that influence our lives. It's just that some people attend a religious community that teaches there is one truth, one path, or a better truth, or a better path in religion. You who attend this congregation receive the message that this may be the best path for you, but hopefully not that all religions culminate in our truth as the final or best truth. Freely choosing this religion of Unitarian Universalism is a lifelong project, and many of us do choose it again and again. However, you are free to choose something else. We will miss you greatly, but we do not fear your soul will be in jeopardy. You also have the freedom to evolve in your own understandings of religion, in your personal credo over time, and remain a Unitarian Universalist. I have certainly not held the same beliefs over my lifetime. Occasionally, people misunderstand this to mean that you can believe or practice anything as a Unitarian Universalist. If one of your friends invited you to this church and said, "Come to the church where you can believe anything you want," I have some bad news if that's why you showed up. It's not true. While we have the gift of religious freedom here, it is bound by a covenant that expresses the boundaries that we have agreed to and that love would place on us. Our 8 UU principles are an example of an important covenantal boundary. If your evolving beliefs do not fall within our ethical promises, then this might be an increasingly uncomfortable place for you. The first principle provides an example. We covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. That is a principle that involves a rejection of original sin. A belief that babies are marred by sin at birth and have a need to change from a sinful state to a pure state is not consistent with our ethical understandings. This is why we share in a ritual of dedication and blessing for our infants and young children. When we bless them with names, with godparents or guide parents, with this community, with a water and a flower, it is we who promise to change by dedicating ourselves to them. We are not trying to change something in them. Honoring that there are boundaries, religious pluralism is alive and well in our congregation in a way that is very resonant with the wider community we participate in outside of Sunday mornings. In the new proposed language for Article 2, the covenant we hold with fellow Unitarian Universalists across the country, there is a statement of value that lifts this up. Pluralism. We celebrate that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. In addition to believing that the revelation is not sealed or in religious freedom, another ingredient essential to our faith for it to spring up includes the importance of reason and conscience, doubting and questioning as an important part of our faithfulness. We are both free and responsible. We do not engage uncritically with new ideas or traditions. We are mindful about how to proceed, and we are always wanting to learn how to do this more faithfully. While we have been open to the wisdom of other traditions for nearing 200 years now, we didn't always engage with other religions respectfully as we hope to today. Over 150 years ago, the Reverend James Freeman Clark wrote a book titled 10 Great Religions. Reverend Clark was one of the charter members of the Transcendental Club, along with Ralph Waldo Emerson and Margaret Fuller from the Fuller family. You might recognize the name Fuller from the room downstairs. The Transcendentalist Club, among other aspects, was encouraging the Unitarian Christians of the time to get their noses outside of the Bible more often, to look outside to the natural world, and to look deeply within for sources of truth. And they didn't limit themselves to the study of the Christian canon, the Old and New Testaments. They especially began to read Eastern scriptures as sources of insight. However, James Freeman Clark's book both celebrates and diminishes other world religions. He views engaging with them as an intellectual and spiritual pursuit, but he also reduces them as truths which culminate in his Christianity as defined by Unitarianism. In divinity school, we used to say that that was the 10 great religions ending in Unitarianism, and that is not a book we want to be preaching. Christians appropriating the wisdom of other faiths and reducing them by only looking for what we have in common or as being included in Christianity is a form of misappropriation and supersession. The wisdom of Christianity is viewed to supersede the wisdom of others. We hope to take into account a fuller experience today of what we have in common, yes, but also the differences that beautify the pattern and reveal more truth, as well as to name the limitations of our engagement with other traditions outside of their communities of origin. When Unitarian Universalists engage in the Buddhist practice of metta meditations, loving kindness meditations, there is and can be great value to it. And on Monday nights, you can actually join a group from our congregation that are engaged in this practice together on Zoom. We might offer a metta meditation in worship together from time to time, and many UUs have practice groups both within our congregation and beyond of this type of loving kindness cultivation. And outside of our congregation, Unitarian Universalists will engage with sanghas outside of our congregation, outside of our physical and virtual walls. One thing that John Buren's has said is Unitarian Universalism is the best religion to have if you have more than one religion. Many of our couples that come here, one of them might go to another house of worship, and some of you might go here and somewhere else. Over time, engagement with other wisdom traditions, both religious and some which are termed more secular, such as the sciences and the arts, has transformed the landscape of our faith. And actually, we don't believe in a sacred secular split here. Everything could be determined religious as a part of the quest of understanding life and the human spirit. We are no longer a Christian faith as the Unitarians and Universalists once considered themselves. Yes, we have liberal Protestant roots, and that is a part of who we are. The Protestant tradition grew out of Reformation movements, which protested aspects of Catholicism. Sometimes, to describe this transformation of our landscape, we might say, oh, we are the Protestants of Protestants. Specifically, we're thought of as the radical wing of the Congregationalists, which split into the United Church of Christ and to Unitarian Universalism. And whenever I tell that, there's someone who said, no wonder I actually liked that UCC church that I visited before I moved here. And there's a joke a number of you have heard. The UCC, and they tell the joke too, Unitarians considering Christ. But let me tell you, at the time of the protests and schisms between these two, it was a big deal, a tearing apart of some towns in New England, for example. And since I shared my communion story at the beginning, I'll share they often fought mightily over that silver. There was a legal case in Dedham, Massachusetts, that rocked New England in 1821 when the Unitarians won the silver set and all the assets from the far more orthodox Congregationalists. Today, we might be described as a religiously diverse movement that includes liberal Christians, but many others as well. We uphold pluralism in our pews. If you are here for one of your first visits and wondering whether your particular understanding of theology is welcome, and you're afraid to say what you believe or don't believe out loud, let me tell you now, the answer is probably yes, your theology or your atheism is welcome here. To your left is possibly an atheist. In front of you may be a liberal Christian. Behind you may well be a family with Hinduism, Judaism, and a long study of Buddhism in the mix. And to your right might be someone who identifies as just a plain old Unitarian Universalist with no modifier. They do exist. While we are not as diverse yet as we aspire to become in terms of our multicultural and multiracial makeup, we are very diverse in terms of our theological and philosophical makeup. What is unique compared to other congregations in our area is just how open we are about that fact. Robert Fulghum, author of All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. How many of you remember reading that book? Some of you may know this, but he is one of the most famous Unitarian Universalist ministers, but not for being a Unitarian Universalist minister, for writing that book. And he is located right here in the Pacific Northwest. He said it well. Religion is not contained in a single book. There is something religious in almost any book. That is a heterodox rather than orthodox thing to say. Heterodox comes from the Greek word heresis, choice. Dox comes from opinion or belief. We are a people who freely choose the beliefs that guide our path. The word orthodox comes from ortho, or right, or true, or straight. We are not trying to set people straight here. We are on a journey of the Spirit. Along the way, we encounter the holy sources of truth and experiences that forever change our understandings about what it means to be alive and yet fated to die, the ultimate religious question. In the end, ours is a path of humility. We accept we do not have all the answers, and we are always on the lookout for better answers and better questions ahead. Together, we pray not to have it straight, not to be right about everything, not to possess all truth, but rather that we, all our lives, bend in the directions of our individual conscience and our collective commitments to love. That day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, you and I and we will grow into a community capable of preparing spiritually alive tables and experiences that allow us to become ever more relevant, robust, and resilient as a source of faith. Let it be our shared work to make room for all of our spirits to grow and to soar throughout our congregation and in the wider denomination and world. Amen, and may it be so, and blessed be.